Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Thanks very much for that great introduction, Spike Real. Welcome to the show, everybody. It's exciting to have you on, and we're going to share some great ideas. We have a couple great guests with us today, including a repeat guest, and I'm very excited to get into the conversation with him in just a second, David Karofsky from the Transition Consulting Group. And also, Jan Shao is going to join us from ADR Services, and we're going to talk about settling workplace conflict with dignity. So this is going to be a family business oriented show. So I hope you'll stay tuned to the whole thing and listen to us at exitcoachnetwork.com or find our archives, our recorded and past indexed archived interviews at exitcoachradio.com. So let's get into it. Our first guest is returning from the Transition Consulting Group. We're going to talk about tips for managing challenges in family business, and we're going to talk about something that they have put together called the Family Business Peer Groups. So please welcome to the show David Karofsky. David, welcome back, and thanks for joining us today. How are you doing?
Thanks. I'm great, Bill. Thank you, and thanks for having me back. Looking forward to speaking with you again.
Well, it's our pleasure. It was a great conversation last time. And for our listeners out there, you can go to exitcoachradio.com and type in David Karofsky, K-A-R-O-F-S-K-Y, and find his past interview all ready to go. And you can listen to that. So that will explain a lot about what family, what the Transition Consulting Group does. But David, tell us a little bit about the Transition Consulting Group, because this is what you do, is helping especially family businesses, and the idea of transitioning is a word that not many people understand. What do you mean by transitioning? How could you explain that for us?
No, it's a great question. Transition right now, we're in a situation within the demographics of our world where we're going to see the largest transition of wealth in our history. And we're talking the tens of billions of dollars over the next decade or so is going to transition down to the next generation. With the baby boomers, as you pointed out in your introduction, with the baby boomers coming of age and starting to think about what do I do next, they're looking at how do I transition not just an operating business, but the real estate associated with it, the assets, the wealth. And so what my father and I do, he and I work together, we primarily work with family businesses to help them create a plan as to how do they transition the business, the assets, the wealth, down to the next generation, not in terms of legal or tax. We're not accountants, we're not lawyers, but really from an aspect of where's the family on this whole piece, to build alignment with the family, to have them come together and create a plan for what's going to work for mom and dad, what works for the business, who's the next leader of the operating company. Is it a family member? Is it the older brother? Is it the younger brother? Is it the middle sister? Which ones are working in the business? So to be able to transition and have a plan for how you're going to transition down to leadership as well as the ownership to the next generation is a very important piece in the world of family business.
Great point. A lot of people tend to think on the tax angle or the, you know, how operationally how this is going to happen. But a lot of this has to do with the mindset transition, the power shift from the senior leaders currently to the next generation. And how do you deal with the people that are, especially if you have children involved, that are active versus inactive and all the issues that come along with that? There's a long tail of issues that come with that, right?
There is. There's a long tail of issues, and unfortunately, the statistics are not in our favor. Only about a third of family businesses successfully make it through a second generation, and only about 10% of those successfully make it through a third generation. So you got to ask yourself, what's going on there? Why is that happening? Now, we need to take the statistics and the research with a grain of salt. Just because the business doesn't pass the next generation doesn't mean it's a failure. the business, the family may choose to sell the business, take those assets, build a family fund, create a philanthropic initiative, or a family office. So it doesn't always mean failure, but you got to ask yourself what's going on there that the numbers are so kind of stacked up against us to succeed and how we transition the business down to that next generation.
What I like about what you guys are doing is you're putting together these family business peer groups, it sounds like,
that's
to
right.
actually dig into this with actual case studies and people that are going through this so you can build a great database. But from that, well, we'll talk about that in a second, but what would you say the top three reasons that it doesn't work out might be, the top three challenges?
Well, I'll tell you the number one by far is the lack of communication. The difficulty that families have, whether you're a family or you're a family business, the difficulty that families often have is getting into a room and really talking about the issues, the challenges, the differences, the conflict that has happened either over the years that has built up or a current situation that may be happening. And so the lack of communication, the inability to effectively communicate with your mom or your dad or your sister or your brother or your aunt or uncle or whatever it might be is there. And what happens is the presenting issue isn't communication. The presenting issue is often, you know, I don't know how to pass this business down to my son and my daughter who are in the business. I don't know how I'm going to pass this down to them. You know, my daughter runs the finances and my son runs sales and the two of them are never in alignment. You know, I don't know what I'm going to do. When that may be the presenting issue, but often underlying is the inability to allow them to get into a room, allow them to be heard first. As Stephen Covey says, seek first to understand, then be understood. And if families can abide by that and understand that and be able to develop better ways to communicate, it's going to help alleviate a lot of the challenges that are presented in a family business.
And, of course, it'd be nice if every family had the same exact issues and it was like a franchise problem. But, of course, in the world of business, there is no same store situation here. Everything's going to be a little different. But what are some of the basic guidelines that a family could operate from when kind of creating an agenda for a meeting of this type?
Yep. Well, there are a few things that we have found that successful family businesses practice, which allow them to have a successful business. One is they engage in strategic planning. To be able to spend time on a consistent basis, and research even shows that you should spend 20% of your time working on the business, not in the business. Now, I don't think that's necessarily realistic. I suspect that there are very few people that spend that amount of time thinking strategically. But to engage in strategic thinking, to get in on a regular basis and understand what are we trying to do here? Where do we want to be in 3 years? Or where do we want to be actually? Where do we start with? Where do we want to be in 5 years? Then where do we want to be in 3 years? And where do we want to be a year so that we can get to those other benchmarks? To be able to talk to your family regularly around strategic planning is one piece. Another mm-hmm. piece is engaging in boards. That to be able to have an active board, whether a board of directors or a board of advisors, is critical to the success of a family business. To seek outside guidance, to really have a decision-making board so that there's accountability and that you're really moving the ball down the field, so to speak, is another important criteria. And the third one is really to communicate, to constantly be talking and sharing your ideas, what's working well and what's not. Those are three practices that successful family businesses are doing.
I'm curious about something, David, and that is the technology factor creating a bigger gap between older generations and up-and-coming generations? What I mean by that is, obviously, there's a lot of new ways to do things that the older generation may not be aware of, or, you know, they're not as in tune with technology as the younger generation. And I've seen a lot of business situations, I'm sure you have, where the older generation says, we track all of this by paper or Excel or this or
yep.
that. We don't want any of if this has always worked, this is the way we've done it. But that's not the only way to do it anymore, and there's some fantastic ways to do a lot of things now. Do you see technology creating bigger gaps? And if so, do you have any recommendations for the older generation as far as getting up to speed on some of this?
So the answer is yes, but it's actually the gaps are coming in two places. One, the gaps are coming, as you described, is the senior generation adopting a new technology as a better way to do things, that moving away from the traditional paper and pencil into using spreadsheets or analysis or research online or whatever it might be. That's one way, but I'll tell you what the bigger gap that technology has created is the expectations of how you work. So growing up, my father's generation and our family's business growing up, you know, to be there, you had to be at the office. You had to be physically in the office. You had to be surrounded by people. You worked 9 to 5 or 8 to 6 or whatever the hours were, but you physically had to be somewhere. Today, you know, you and I are having a conversation. You're on the West Coast. I'm on the East Coast. I'm working out of my home office, and we're getting work done. And what technology has allowed us to do, for better or for worse, is first of all, the world has become a lot smaller, that you can do commerce across the entire globe quite easily, number one. Number two, you know, I can sit here in my home office, and I can be in shorts and a T-shirt, and I can be on a phone doing work. I can go and coach my kids' soccer game this afternoon, and then tonight I might get on my computer from 11 to 1, answer emails, and do stuff. That couldn't happen 20, 30 years ago. And the concept of junior coaching his kids' little league game and then working at night is difficult sometimes for the senior generation to understand that. That if what's he doing leaving the office at 4 o'clock? You know, is he entitled? Is he not approaching this with complete commitment? Yet they don't see him on the computer at 2 a.m. you know, knocking out a spreadsheet.
That's a good point, and I think that's the old form over function, you know, where it used to be, if you're not at your desk or you're not in your office, where the heck are you and what are you doing?
That's right.
Whereas now you can actually do more work by not having to move your body around and get, you know, at any time. The store is always open, I guess, out there. For communication.
The store is always open. Mm-hmm. That's right, but what you're battling is perception, that if you're not seen, you're perceived as not working. And that's a perception that we need to overcome. We need to the senior generation has got to be able to overcome that. The other people in the office who saw the younger generation grow up and they were playing with Tonka trucks in Dad's office under his desk, and now all of a sudden he's running the sales division, but he's doing it remotely. The other members of the business have to get over the perception of entitlement or is he really working or isn't he or she in order for that person to be successful.
So could a solution be, for instance, to have a checklist of tasks that's reviewed? If they're completed, the work's been done, no matter where you were, kind of thing?
I think that's a great way to do it. And the other thing that we often will work with family businesses is we will create a code of conduct, which is it's, for lack of a better term, it's like the Ten Commandments. It's the rules of engagement that a family business will have so that they are meeting expectations. My pet peeve in the work that I do is that if expectations aren't met, that's when conflict ensues. And so I know your next speaker is actually talking about conflict in the workplace. And my feeling is that if expectations are laid out ahead of time and then are adhered to and met, that helps reduce the risk of conflict in the workplace, whether it's in a family or in a traditional business.
So expectations and meeting those expectations, and everybody's happy.
Yes, and lay them out in a code of conduct so that we know that, so that, hey, you know what, I get a phone call, I'm going to reply to that phone call or voicemail or email within 24 hours. Or I'm going to ask, is this a good time to talk? I'm not going to just barge into your office and start chapping away, assuming that it may not be a good time for the other person. Little things like that.
I like that, the code of conduct. Okay, so let's talk about the family business peer groups and what are they and what are you doing with them?
So 2.5 years ago, my father and I saw an opportunity. We had been doing peer groups through a university here in Massachusetts for many, many years. And the concept is, it's not unique in any sense other than that we're doing only family businesses. But the concept of peer groups has been out for many, many years, and there's many, many companies that do it. And the peer-to-peer learning, there are studies that show that people will learn more from their peers than they will from their advisors. And so 2.5 years ago, my father and I started a second company called the Peer Alliance, where we put together peer groups for people that are in family businesses. We have three groups running. We have about 30 members in the Massachusetts-Boston area, where we get 10 people together, 8 to 10 members of different family businesses. They come together on a regular basis, once a month for a full day, so quarterly meetings for a full day, and we talk about everything from family challenges, family business challenges, personal growth, leadership. We might read a Harvard Business Review case study. We might do an offsite and do team building exercises. But the key here is that we are creating a format, a confidential, safe, secure environment where people can learn from their peers and learn from their experiences, because chances are more than one person has gone through similar experiences as to the others.
Do they meet together? Is it a group meeting?
It's a group meeting. So we have three different groups, and each group works independently. So the group meeting is once a quarter. The same 8 to 10 people from different family businesses will get together, and they're non-competitive businesses, so I wouldn't put two construction companies together, because I want the people to feel like they can talk about anything and everything without feeling the risk of competition. And so these are 8 to 10 non-competing family businesses that get together consistently once a quarter, so it's the same 8 to 10 people. And my father and I, we professionally facilitate these meetings, and there's an opportunity to learn. Somebody might tee up a challenge. I'm trying to work through an issue with my brother, and you know, I'm just not getting along. I'm working here 60 hours a week. He's working 30 hours a week. Our compensation's the same, and I'm really frustrated. You know, how do I manage this? And what they're going to do is they're going to get the feedback and experiences from 8 or 10 other family businesses that may have gone through the same situation.
Great idea. We learn from others' examples sometimes and others' issues.
We learn from others' examples. Exactly, exactly. So it's been a great resource for people, and we find that to be very, very valuable. And our members stay. They don't just come for a meeting or two. These are people. We have some people that have been with us that have carried over from the university and have joined our company that we've been with for 6, 8, 10 years even. And so it's been a great model for the family businesses.
It's got to be great comfort for the people attending to realize that they're not alone in some of their issues. That there, especially in family business, there's so many universal issues because we're dealing.
That's right.
And really, as we talked about before, I think we said before was their whole goal of all this, listeners, is happy Thanksgivings forever between the family members that own the business. When you have a family business, you can gauge whether you're doing the best thing for everybody if you have a happy Thanksgiving dinner.
That's exactly right, and ideally not even talking about business at Thanksgiving.
And that's a metaphor, but I think it's a great one, and it paints a picture for a lot of people, is that if we don't have family harmony, then this business it can't be worth that.
And Bill, you made a great point that people can often feel alone in their world of family business, and particularly leaders, that, you know, everybody says the loneliest seat at the desk, you know, at the boardroom table is the CEO. And because where is he supposed to go? Where is she supposed to go? The Peer Alliance allows these family business leaders to have a place to go, to talk to their peers, to talk to other family business leaders about what are the challenges and what are the opportunities to run a family business. It's like your own personal board of advisors.
Right. No, it's great. And I think you're right. It's lonely at the top, and that fills a great need. Now, you and your dad, being a family business, have a lot of experience in this. And what are you all doing to keep it fresh and to reinvent yourselves?
Well, that's a great question. So we do. My dad was third generation in our family's business, and he sold that back in the late 80s and then got involved with family business consulting, and then I joined him about 5 or 6 years ago. What we do to keep it fresh, first of all, for us, We always say that we live our own experience at a meta level, meaning that we are constantly talking to each other about how are he and I working together. We may be working with a client, consulting with an individual family business together with a client, and we may walk out of that meeting going, you know, that went well, but geez, you know, I think you were going down a path there that was risky. You know, let's reset here. And we're always sharing with each other real-time feedback. We don't hold it in. Our belief is we have to practice what we preach, otherwise what kind of a model are we? So he and I are always living our own family business experience at a very intense, very very intellectual level, so to speak. In terms of reinventing, you know, I think the peer groups is a great way that as a consultant, you know, we wanted to be able to manage the highs and lows of a consulting business. And so we created this second company to allow us to create a membership organization with an annual membership dues that allows us to create a more consistent, repeatable revenue stream. So we've reinvented, yet still adding value and providing a resource to family businesses. And so we're constantly thinking about new ways to do things.
Great stuff. You know, it's always a pleasure. Time goes too fast when we talk. That's the only problem. Tell us,
I can't believe.
You have an event coming up. You have
we
an
do.
Event coming
we,
up, don't you?
We do. We have an event on October 21st in the Boston area in Framingham, Massachusetts. It's going to be an open house for families that are for family businesses, for people that are interested in learning more about the Peer Alliance and the work that we do. We would welcome people to come to this open house. They can learn more at www.thepeeralliance.com, and they can certainly reach out to me at david@thepeeralliance.com if they want to learn more. But we're excited. We got a lot of people registered, and the goal there is to be able to launch a couple of more groups, a couple of more peer groups.
And for listeners that aren't in your area, are there other tools or resources on that website, or should they go to your other business website?
They can go to the Peer Alliance website for peer group information, and if they want some family business resources, they can go to our other website, which is www.fortcg.com, fortcg.com.
Great stuff. David Karofsky, thanks very much for joining us. And for our listeners, you know, you're not just going to someday turn your business over to your family members. If you don't do a lot of planning in advance, a lot can go wrong. And that's why you need to think about this concept of the transition and get in touch with David Karofsky at the Transition Consulting Group. He can help you out, and they have a lot of tools and resources you can dig into as well. David, what's the best phone number for people to reach you at?
Best number to reach me is 508-875-7751.
One more time.
508-875-7751.
Old radio trick. All right, David. David, thanks for – hey, it's been a real pleasure. And, again, I know we're going to be talking again soon at another time, and we'll get even deeper into these issues. Thanks very much for joining us today. It's been a real pleasure.
Great, Bill. Thank you so much, and best of luck with the rest of the show, and I look forward to chatting soon.
All right, I've been talking with David Karofsky of Transition Consulting Group. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to be right back after this message, so please stay with us.
You're listening to ExitCoachRadio.com, the information station for age 50-plus business owners, where we're interviewing over 250 top advisors for their best tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well-planned. We upload new one-minute tips every day. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.